Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to this podcast today. In this interview, and we had the honor and privilege of interviewing Mr. Jared Shepherd, the president and CEO of Hyporia Company. Jared, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for your time.
That's awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Let's go ahead and get started on your background. We did a little bit of snooping up on you. We didn't do a background check or anything, but, you know, we went through Google, we went through LinkedIn, and you come from an awesome military background and, I should say, very humble, modest beginnings. Tell me more about yourself, how you got started, where you're at today, and we'd love to hear about the highlights of your career.
God, man, I appreciate it. I don't know if I want to bore everybody with that long story, but, you know, a lot of people tell me at some point I need to capture that. But if I was to summarize it, it's kind of like a lifetime of once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. I went from, you know, at one point, you know, self-inflicted, being homeless, living, in, you know, in the backseat of a car, you know, doing some grocery stores to eat, to then, you know, having joined the military, the infantry, serving in the Army, got to be a sniper, got to do some really cool stuff there, and then, you know, I got to a stage in the Army where I wanted to do more, wanted to be challenged more, and a buddy of mine said, well, man, you really got to get into IT. And I thought, wow, I guess I kind of like computers. I thought that would be something neat. And he tells me, if you just get one certification, you can make almost $70,000 a year. And I was like, holy moly, ooh, that's the mother load. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
So I re-enlisted in the Army, and that's how I went to go learn IT. The Army taught me IT, but I mean, it taught me a lot of other things, which is a lot of my foundation, as you implied, my foundation's in leadership and my foundation's in the way in which I believe an organization should function, and even just my basic moral and my ideas of my ethos, you know, my individual ethos and how I function.
Excellent. Well, I just want to tell you, thank you for your service in the military. It's a great honor. Thank you so much for that service.
The honor was mine.
Well, it's a privilege talking to you also. Now, tell me about your company, Hyporia. Is this a company that you kind of started on your own, or how did you venture into it?
Yeah, man. So like I said, you know, a lifetime of once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. I was faced with one of those many once-in-a-lifetime opportunities when I started my first company, which was Intelligent Waves, which I actually started in Iraq, supporting the deployed wartime operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. From that, I became, you know, more and more intimate with the enterprise IT challenges that face a military or a government. And one of those challenge sets is the cybersecurity sphere, right? You know, the world in which the military is constantly having to deal with, but not just the military, the whole world. And we were trying to get at a very unique problem. And a part of that problem set was, you know, data at rest and data in transit. And in the process of me doing that, I encountered what was this little startup that was called Hyporia. And they were not doing well. They were on a rough road. In fact, they're probably on their way out at the time. But I loved the idea and the concept of the IP. I talked to some of the engineers, and I was able to leverage my first company to buy the IP out of what was Hyporia. Just because I wanted to try to prove that this kind of a technology could work. I actually believe originally they were just a solution ahead of its time before people understood the idea of what really Hyporia is. I kept it internal to Intelligent Waves for about 3 or 4 years. But, you know, having a services company and a product company in the same company doesn't work because one tries to eat the other. And so then eventually when I believed I had Hyporia with the right amount of momentum, I spun Hyporia out of Intelligent Waves, and I'm now focused on growing that as quickly and as successfully as I possibly can.
Now, how did you get the name Hyporia? What was the reasoning behind it? Does it mean something special?
Well, this predates me, but it's an awesome story. You know, the original name of Hyporia was actually Droid Cloud. But Droid Cloud is a trademark name by Lucasfilms. And so the original company, we received a cease and desist letter, and it said, you know, hey, you can't use Droid without paying royalties. So, you know, let a whole bunch of IT guys you know, and the high-end tech guys be challenged by something like that. They went out and did a lot of research, and they found the unprotected, untrademarked name of Hypori, which is actually the android planet in the Star Wars universe, and they came up with that name.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
So nothing like a bunch of Star Trek geeks and Star Trek and Star Wars geeks all in the same company, and we're all sparring at each other all the time.
Oh, I'm a big time Star Trek geek myself too, especially Next Generation. I'm always wrestling with the question like, where does space end? If it's linear, curvilinear, but anyway, we can talk about that later in another podcast. But anyway, how long have you guys been in business?
So Hypori officially, as its own business, was started at the beginning of this year. I've been in business for over 15 years now. I started Intelligent Waves back in 2006 and then had Hypori internal as a product offering of Intelligent Waves for about 3 years and change before we spun it out at the beginning of this year as a freestanding company.
Okay, excellent. Now let's get straight into your product. I think Gal gave me a pretty good background information into when I first talked to him. But what is a cybersecurity problem, and what's the solution that Hypori is going to solve with that? I believe it was something about not having the data stored on your cell phone, but it's going to be stored, I believe, in a virtual server, virtual machine somewhere, if I'm correct?
Well, sure. Let me take you back to a little bit larger of a problem set when I answer that. So I really believe Hypori is going to be the next evolution in mobility. And you know, when you think about, like, the first evolution of mobility, it was really the first mobile device, right? That first cell phone, those of us old enough to remember carrying around that backpack of a thing, you know, with a cable on it and everything else like that with a handset. But it was cool because it cut the cord. It enabled you to actually become mobile. That's the idea of mobility. And of course, there's going to be people on the blog, I'm sure, that would argue with me, but I believe the next evolution, the real evolution of mobility was, you know, when we could take that big clunky PC and fold it up and put it in a bag. And then now all of a sudden between the phone and the PC, we now have the ability to actually move the workspace, right? We could take the workspace with us. And then you look at today, like we carry these cell phones around with us today that have everything on them now. They have our personal lives, our professional lives. They have the pictures of our kids. They have our financial information on them. They have everything that we hold dear and important. And we interact and survive upon them, you know, not just daily, but hourly or even by the minute. And in fact, now I think if you ask the average person under the age of 65 what the most valuable thing is that they carry with them when they walk out of the house every day, they'll tell you it's the cell phone, right? Well, I believe we're the next evolution. We're going to break the ties to that piece of hardware. Because what if I could give you that same environment, but give it to you securely from a cell phone, from a tablet, from a laptop, from your TV on the wall, from a kiosk in the mall, from a stranger walking down the street? What if we made hardware simply the commodity, not the holder of the security of that information, and instead just becomes the method in which you access the information? That's really what the problem I think Hypori is going to get at. From a more technical standpoint, you know, for probably most of your listeners, I think we are two things. One is we're flipping the security aperture, you know, on its head. For years and years and years, people have tried to figure out how to securely extend data to the edge, right? How can I get what's important to me, to my business, to my organization, to my country, to whatever it happens to be? How can I enable that I can pass that data out to the edge and allow people to interact with it in some kind of secure fashion? Well, we're flipping that. Instead, I'm collapsing the edge into the enterprise by creating a true zero trust architecture where you don't trust the edge device. You assume the edge device is compromised. But I allow a compromised or untrusted device to have access in view only into a secure cloud that significantly reduces the attack surface and the places in which I have to defend against an aggressor. Does that make sense?
Yep. Now, for your cloud platform, do you make use of the AWS or Azure, or do you kind of have your own dedicated private cloud for that, or?
All of the above. So we do have a small private cloud instance that we run. I use AWS and I use Azure. So it depends. Our product offerings right now are you know, public cloud, which is you use the cloud that we establish and use, and whether that's a combination of data centers or I'm using a combination of any of the commercial clouds. We have, you know, name cloud, which is you can come to us and say, hey, I like this cloud, or I use this cloud, or I have a contract with this cloud. I want you to use this cloud provider. And then we have private cloud, which is you know, you have a closed or secure environment, and we need to use a cloud-like architecture, but in either on-prem or in a very named and enclave environment.
Okay. Now, I know the AWS has been prone to, you know, the S3, data leakages, and I think a lot of that's because of misconfigurations on the end user. Being in a public cloud, have you been impacted by any of those recent leakages or breaches?
We have not yet, but that's because, you know, most cloud apps, right, were systems that were built to enable user access and user interaction. We're a security platform that started out as a security appliance that we've moved into cloud, that every aspect of it from SE Linux out to the edge is built around security. So luckily, if there's, you know, a vulnerability in the cloud itself, it generally does not affect us. We're insulated from that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not vulnerable to stupid users. You know, stupid users are the most dangerous thing to a network. But the outside of that, so aggressors, we actually do very well against an external aggressor.
Okay, excellent. Now, the next question I have here for you is, can you define what you mean by zero data at rest, like on a cell phone?
Sure.
Where is data stored?
So So Hypori is, you know, for the most simplistic way, you know, and it's beautiful in its simplicity and concept. It turns your edge device, your mobile phone or tablet or PC, into a dumb terminal. All it does is it receives a high definition encrypted streaming video of your data, not the actual data itself, which means the ones and zeros of that data never actually leave the data center. All it does is it streams it like a virtual desktop would to your desktop, and using, you know, a big chunk of our proprietary mechanisms to do that, it's streaming only change pixels. So it's not the whole stream. It's only the actual pixels that are changing in movement or as you're changing. And then when you touch on the device or you put input into the device, that is then hashed, encrypted, and then sent back into the secure data center and translated into an action. So I always joke with my more operational users. I tell them, look, it's like I'm making you a steak. I'm letting you watch the steak. I'm even letting you cut the steak, but you never get to eat it because you don't actually get to hold it. It is truly a virtual device architecture or a thin client architecture, but optimized for any platform out there.
Okay, excellent. Now, how do you differentiate Hypori from, like, the enterprise mobile device management, which is like the de facto standard, and secure VPN, you know,
sure,
like Citrix and so forth?
Yeah. So it's funny. A lot of people compare us to MDM, but we're not MDM because MDM is mobile device management. We're actually a mobile device, but we're a mobile device hosted in cloud, accessible from almost any platform. So I'm not an MDM simply because I am a mobile device. However, I disrupt the potential need for an MDM. I kind of put MDMs back into what they were originally invented for, which was inventory management. An MDM used correctly as an inventory management software is an excellent software, even inside of Hypori if you want to use it there. But when you're talking about being able to have access to the edge, the disadvantages of MDM versus Hypori become significant. So, for instance, if you as an enterprise want to deploy an MDM out to your employees, those employees have to sign a user license agreement that says the employer gets to have access to the phone and have some level of control of that phone and can potentially delete that phone. There's all kinds of challenges with that in the cybersecurity world, to include, like, you know, GDPR out of Europe, which has a lot of user privacy, but even case law here in America now that has begun to fall on the side of the user over the corporation. In that, there's a case out of Ohio 2 years back where the circuit court judge said, and it was in a case in which an employee was a bad acting employee, right? They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing, et cetera. The company decided they were going to delete her phone because they believed that she had sensitive data that was on her phone. They deleted her entire phone rather than just a secure enclave, which that's a mismanagement of MDM. But in the end, they deleted pictures of her now past grandmother. And the court found on her behalf, and it wasn't necessarily the damages that were awarded that matter. What mattered was what the judge said. What the judge said was, if you as a corporation choose to allow your employee to do work on your personal device, it is the corporation that takes risk, not the employee. And that case law alone sets precedence for the fact that that means that the U.S. is probably going to go the way that Europe has gone, which is you can't control people's personal devices. You can't invade their privacy. You can't delete their stuff. So it puts that huge paradox in front of you. Okay, well, I'm a business, and I want to have a BYOD plan, and I want to have a BYOD program, and I don't want to buy everybody's second cell phones or extra laptops or extra tablets. How do I enable my employee to access my secure, protected information from a device that I can't trust? That's Hyporia.
Excellent. Now, who is your customer base that you're trying to target? Who is your sweet spot right now? Is the small and medium-sized enterprises, Fortune 500? Can you elaborate more on that?
Yes, absolutely. So right now, because of, kind of where I told you I came from the military side of the house, my first and largest customer is the military. In fact, I am the largest secure classified mobility provider, in the Department of Defense. And after we just went through a series of red teams with the Department of Test and Evaluation, we are, quote unquote, the most secure technology they've tested to date. And I believe that we will hopefully become the BYOD platform for the entire Department of Defense. So I mean that's massive for us. But we're not a defense only type software. Not at all. In fact, it's just the defense has the highest bar for security because they're so constantly under onslaught from the Chinese and the Russians and criminal groups, etc. But where else is controlled information important? Finance, healthcare, Fortune 500. We've actually found there's a tremendous amount of interest in the telecom. I mean, if you think about it, telecoms today make a lot of their money selling people a second phone for business. But reality of the future is, what if I could just sell you a virtual phone that you could access from anything? And I could do it all for less than $20 a month.
Well, excellent. Now, talking about the Department of Defense, did you have to go through a CMMC certification process?
I love that you asked that question. We have to go through an accreditation process to be able to be used in an IMPACT Level 4 and IMPACT Level 5 cloud. We just finished our full, 2-week red teaming in the IMPACT Level 5 cloud, where we got great reviews from DOTNE and from the Army's red team. The interesting thing, when you think about how CMMC is impacting so many businesses in the defense industrial complex, one of those things to be at the IMPACT Level 4 network, to be IMPACT Level 4, CMMC Level 4, qualified, you have to have either an MDM in place or something similar. We qualify as the something similar. So, for instance, who are the largest MDM providers in the world right now? It's, Intune, BlackBerry, Bez, and Mobileye. Well, the largest one is by far Microsoft, right? Intune. But do you know who Microsoft Federal uses for their BYOD? They use us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But the reason they use us isn't necessarily because I'm significantly more secure than their product or anything else like that. The reason they use us is because of the flexibility my platform offers on an individual's device. The fact that you can get access to more than one security platform. So if you look at this from a business standpoint, if you are business X, we'll say Lockheed, Northrop, Boeing, anybody else like that, to be CMMC compliant, they have to spin off and create a Gov compliant version, for that CMMC compliant. Those employees need to have access to Lockheed.gov. Well, generally, those employees also have to have access to Lockheed.com and still their personal device. There is no MDM out there that provides security to multiple echelons or multiple security environments on the same physical device, but we do.
Okay.
So we can actually, rather than buying multiple cell phones or multiple mobile devices, you can use your personal mobile device, get access to Lockheed.com and get access to Lockheed.gov, and all do so in a CMMC compliant security way.
Excellent. Now, are you using Microsoft's GCC program? That secure cloud just for government contractors?
Yeah, so we have, in fact, my other company, Intelligent Waves, is on GCC, which is IL4 cloud, essentially. And I actually think that's going to be a huge potential market for Hyporia here in the near future. When you look at somebody like Microsoft, who's using us in their GCC cloud, And the reason why they're using us, it makes sense for almost all of the rest of the defense industrial base to do the same thing, because I'm massively cheaper than you buying 2 and 3 phones for your employees. I'm more flexible than using an MDM across more than one device, because you'd have to use at least 2 devices to accomplish that. And I'm more secure than any of those solutions.
Excellent. Okay. Now, congratulations on your investments from Great Point Ventures Series A funding. Tell us more about that, if you can, and how do you plan to
use the money? Yeah, so Ray Lane, Ashok, Andrew, the three partners for Great Point, when they came to me, I picked them. I had a lot of people who were willing to throw money at you, right? And when you're growing a company, and if you have a good idea or a good platform or something that you're building on that you believe is going to become something big, you're not going to have a hard time finding money. It's finding the right money, right? It's finding the right people. And when I came to Ray and Ray's team, a couple of things. One was Ray up front told me, he said, look, we're not government, so I can't help you on government. And I told him, I said, Ray, that's actually what I don't need help in. I'm okay in government. I need help everywhere else. Right. And Ray Lane is this legendary guy who really helped build Oracle into what it is, who's done all this other amazing things, to include, the first ever check written into Beyond Meat. I mean, the guy knows how to build companies. He's an operator. And his partners, Ashok and Andrew, the same thing. So to have somebody like that come to me and not just want to invest in us, but he was the first guy I talked to on the money side of the house that actually took my vision further. You know, I told him, Ray, I really believe that Hypori could be the BYOD answer for everybody, for all corporate America. And I believe we could be $2 or $3 billion in valuation. And he kind of laughed at me for a second, and I almost got offended. And then he said, Jared, it could be more than that. It could be bigger than that. And to have somebody, you know, the first time that somebody's really looked at me and not just said, oh, yeah, maybe if you're lucky, and instead said, man, I believe in you, and I think you can go further than you think you can. That was important to me, and he and his team are interacting with me every couple of days, every week, et cetera. So I mean, when you take on that Series A investor, when you're trying to build something, having somebody who's actually a partner, not just a bank, is critical.
Excellent. Now, it's been suggested that 85% of companies here in corporate America have enabled the BYOD environments because primarily of, the COVID-19, the remote workforce and so forth. What are some of the ways that BYOD trends have influenced and benefited the corporate workforce? I know that, when the COVID-19 first started, companies were scrambling, we've got to get, cell phones, I got to get mobile devices out. A lot of them had sloppy security protocols on that, but now I guess there are more understanding of the BYOD. So how has this all shaped the workforce that we see now and that we're going to be probably seeing going next year and beyond?
Oh man, I'm fascinated with this question, because I think people like you are going to be able to extrapolate the facts out of this and talk about this for years to come, so we can learn from it. Because 2 years ago, if you had gone in front of any of the Fortune 500s or even the government, federal government for that matter, and said, hey, how are you going to enable 85% of your workforce to work from home? They'd have laughed you out of the room. But now they're all planning, building, and working towards not only accomplishing that, but sustaining it. And to your point, I think for the last 2 years, I bet you when we look at this, historically, 5-10 years from now, we're going to find that we purged data out of our ears. We lost so much information to information theft and to information mishandling that, we probably won't be able to quantify it for years to come, simply because we had to respond so quickly with an immature infrastructure without the technology built around doing that, And, even VPN concentrators, VPN, people just had VPNs out there, were having a hard time providing to the customer need. And a VPN is not a secure solution. A VPN is simply, it just simply encrypts a tunnel from point to point. That doesn't do anything for the data at rest, the data on the device, or where the data is going.
Right. Well, the VPN. I think the VPNs that even they have, they can't withstand this huge, magnitude of the remote workforce. A lot of people now are migrating to the next-gen firewall. I know that Azure, they've got some great stuff in that, you know, in that firewall, the next-gen VPN, that kind of thing, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, so think about, you know, so there's two things, well, there's a couple of things that actually really came together for us at almost the perfect time. Remember how I said earlier, a lifetime of once-in-a-lifetime opportunities? So some of that is, okay, one of them was finding Hypori, right? And being lucky enough to recognize what Hypori is from a technology standpoint and where I thought I could take Hypori to. And then next is a couple other key things fell into place that just, again, are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. COVID, such a horrible thing with so much, you know, loss of life that's so bad, is a bit of a silver lining for us because it forced people to rethink how you remotely access information from the edge. And when the other thing is the maturity of cloud. Even just 3 years ago, cloud would not have been mature enough to handle what is happening today. And the fact that it happened now and that we have the flexibility to be able to spool up, deploy an entirely streaming secure operating system using cloud to businesses anywhere, I mean, the redundancy in cloud is so much more massive than something like a VPN condenser from end to end. You know, point-to-point solutions are being crushed all throughout the world. But when you start talking about having multiple access points through cloud, using a cloud-like security infrastructure with a scalable backend, it's, I mean, again, it was almost like it was made for us.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm going to kind of segue into some different topics in the cyber, just a little bit, but they probably will relate to Hypori. One of them is the Internet of Things. Now, I mean, yours is going to sound very odd, but I'm cyber. I write about this thing day in, day out. If I tell the truth, I hate technology. I hate it to its core. And I think one thing I truly hate to God most is Windows 10. And their stupid updates. I think Windows is about the worst thing that could ever be created. And so I made a promise to myself my next laptop is going to be an iOS. But anyway, apart from that, the Internet of Things, I mean, everything's all kind of jumbled together and, you know, connected together. As I said, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I still drive a 2003 Honda Accord with analog instrumentation. I don't have any mobile apps on my cell phone or anything except for one. What do you think about the IoT, and how is it going to impact your business? And do you have anything like a smart home or a smart car or anything like that?
I don't have a smart car. Well, I mean, I guess my car is connected, so in some ways I guess I have a smart car. I do have a smart home. I'm a believer in technology. I mean, obviously for a lot of reasons. I also recognize it for what it is. You know, I mean, you remember the old fable? I mean, originally it was a Persian fable, but then, you know, turned into the fable of the scorpion and the frog. Recognize it for what it is, right? You know, the idea of what the scorpion is technology. It has value. It has use. It's an impressive thing. But if you turn your back on it, if you neglect it and you don't use it appropriately, you're going to get sung. The amazing thing that technology does is it makes us more capable to do things that we never imagined doing. The bad thing about technology is it makes us more vulnerable to have things done to us than we ever imagined having done.
Okay, excellent. Now, my next question for you is the use of artificial intelligence. As we know, that's one of the biggest buzzwords being bandied about in cybersecurity. In fact, just in February, I got a book published on AI. You know, I talk about, you know, neural networks, machine learning, computer vision, and God knows what else in there. And basically all of it's just garbage in, garbage out, you know. People just get dazed. Oh, my thing has AI in it. And vendors, they love pushing products. Oh, it's got an AI component, you know. What are your thoughts on AI? And do you foresee being Hypori using AI to a certain degree in your integrations with the, you know, mobile technology and so forth?
Man, yeah. So I didn't really answer your IoT question either, you know, because really in the end, IoT is ultimately just a network of sensors that are controlled and configurable from some platform, right? But that also means they're vulnerable from some platform as well. The same could be said about AI ML, you know, or artificial intelligence machine learning. It's only going to be as good as, like you said, garbage in, garbage out, only be as good as the information you put in or put out of it. And it depends on what scope and scale you're trying to use it for. It becomes significantly dangerous if you just cut it loose and have it do things that if you allow it to make important decisions without control of the information. But, you know, would we be using something like AIML? If you're talking about in the most rudimentary forms of AIML, as in, like, you know, using data feeds, you know, for instance, predictive analysis of a user's, you know, preemptive need of a certain type of application, or knowing that, you know, when I have, you know, 500,000 users inside of cloud, and knowing that when Bob signs on, it's generally between 7:15 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning, and he generally does so from the northeast because that's where he probably resides, and he generally accesses these two applications almost every morning at the same time, probably with his morning coffee. Me having that data content staged and then being able to ensure that he gets the maximum satisfaction out of the use of his environment because the data is ready at his touch. And then the minute he goes away, I know that Bob doesn't get back on again until tomorrow morning. I can then put that data in the background and put it into a more efficient and cheaper storage mechanism and turn off maybe his virtual processors so that I can actually utilize those somewhere else. Absolutely. You know, because that's just that's a better way to be efficient. But it can be, to your point, you know, your question earlier about your love of technology or your statement earlier about your love of technology, it can be a double-edged sword. If you look at all the economic shortfalls that we have today, is you can pull the thread on that. That's largely a result of years and years and years of you know, just-in-time efficiency modeling, right? You know, only buy what you need for when you need it. Well, the problem is the minute there's a significant blip in a JIT-based model like that, it's very difficult to recover from.
Right. Okay, next question for you is COVID-19. How has the pandemic impacted your business and your clients? And how do you foresee the pandemic maybe helping or hurting your business down the road?
Sure. The pandemic's been horrible by all counts, right? You know, for us, you know, for people, loss of life. For us economically, I would even argue politically, you know, we've had a lot of challenges. But from a business standpoint, in some ways, like I said, the pandemic was kind of a silver lining for us because it forced people to change the narrative and to change what they thought about teleworking, remote commute, or remote communications, mobile access to information sets. And oh, by the way, I think it's also going to change the way in which the enemy, the bad guys out there, look at trying to exploit information because everybody became so decentralized and so many from home, you know, working environments. That's going to be a challenge that we're going to face for years to come. As an employer, you know, somebody who employs, you know, several hundred employees, you know, it's always a challenge because you want to respect your employees' rights, right, and their own individual rights to make a decision with their bodies. But at the same time, I have to comply with federal government regulations. I have to comply with military regulations, and I also have to look out for the health and safety of my employees. So it's a challenge. COVID is definitely a challenge as a business owner, but it is an opportunity from a product standpoint side of the house.
Talking about data privacy laws, that kind of spurred another thought. Are you impacted much by like the GDPR, CCPA, and that kind of thing, or?
Yeah, again, for us, these kind of things that tend to have negative impact on other people are a great impact on us because one of the strengths of Hyporia is that I give you this fully autonomous access to information, but I don't need any control of your device, which means there's no privacy issues. And yeah. I'm never actually putting my information on your device, which means you can't lose it or mishandle it. So from like a GDPR standpoint, we're actually in a great place. In fact, I would argue that we're one of the best products out to be GDPR compliant for a company that has to protect information but still allow access on the edge.
Okay, excellent. Now, last issue here, the remote workforce, do you think that this is going to be something that's going to have a permanent foothold in corporate America? Do you think we'll see the day when workers actually try to come back to the office like 5 days a week? They've tried doing that, but, you know, people just quit. They like working from home. They like the flexible scheduling. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Mike Tyson said, right? You know, everybody thinks they have a plan until they get punched in the face. I think the business world had a plan, and then they got punched in the face. I think this will change the way that we look at employee satisfaction. It will change the way that we offer access to employees. But I also believe we will largely return back to the office place at some point. And it's not because companies are going to mandate it. It's because it's more efficient and effective, especially if you're working in the creative space. A lot of my more senior engineers are chomping at the bit to be able to come back into the office, and not because they feel like they can't do their work from home. They can, and they all do it very well. But because, man, get a group of guys and gals in a room with that all have 10-pound brains and let them draw on dry erase boards and watch what comes out of that. That becomes, you know, very, very valuable. That human interaction piece, that the challenging each other, the collaborative working together, the camaraderie that gets built out of that team, I don't think can ever be replaced or virtualized. But it will definitely change the way the workplace functions, right? It'll change the fact that I don't expect my employees to come in 5 days a week. I expect them to get their jobs done. And if they can do it from home, great. If they can do it from the office, great. But I need to make sure that I'm holding my employees against their performance, not against their attendance, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, now one more question. How is 5G affecting, or is it helping, hurting the advancements that you're trying to create with HiCord?
Yeah, you know, I should have included that when I said, you know, all the great things that are falling into place that are perfect for HiCord. Cloud, all these, you know, remote work, telework, 5G is another one too. So, I mean, imagine the idea of using something like HiCord, which is a highly efficient mobile operating system. Because remember, so we kind of flipped everything on its edge. Back in the day, you know, Citrix, VMware, Microsoft, they all tried to figure out how to get a desktop operating system to work on an edge device, right, on a mobile device. And it never really took. Well, that's because it doesn't really work on a mobile device. They were attacking the problem from the wrong edge. What they should be doing is trying to figure out how to make the, which is what we did, how do you make the mobile operating system work on any device, anywhere? So that scalability, that ability to use that same single operating system on any platform all the way up, gives you that kind of flexibility all the way out to the edge. And I'm sorry, did I even answer your original question?
I think you did. I'm almost certain you did. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, finally, Jerry, as we wrap up our show here, what are your plans for 2021, 2022? How do you think things are going to evolve for you guys?
Man, I'll tell you, I think this is an excellent time for us. The evolution. Oh, and you asked me about 5G. I'm sorry. So 5G. The 5G is another component that's come into place. Think about the idea that we have an operating system that's highly efficient because it was a mobile operating system, hosted in cloud, and then tie it to get access to it with 5G. So right now, if I'm running HiCord in a high-performing cloud and I access it across 5G, my mobile device outperforms like for instance, the Samsung Galaxy S21 Extreme by 20%. Well, how is that possible? Well, it's because I'm using Xeon-based processors in a server room with data center speeds. You know, I'm pulling 4 to 6 gigabits of bandwidth in my virtual mobile device, whereas your cell phone is always going to be limited to what it actually has on its physical device. So 5G, low latency, high bandwidth access into the cloud and into a fast backbone only makes HiCord work that much better.
Okay. So any more thoughts about the future or anything for you guys or
Yeah. So this year, I think, I mean, we've grown a lot. The first year, I took over HiCord and I asked a couple of my original key developers, you know, to come in and we wanted to prove out that this solution is real and we can make it work. And we did. And we sold, you know, a few $100,000 worth of capability. The next year, we sold 10 times that. The next year, we hit $13 million in revenue. You know, for a software company that wasn't even standing on its own yet. This year, you know, I'm hoping, you know, by the end of this calendar year, we may not hit it, but by the end of next year, I would like to hit over 500,000 users.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Well, Jerry, what's the best way for to get a hold of you? You know, with this great technology, if they're interested, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I hate to say cliche, but the easiest thing to do is go to our website, right? Go to www.hypori, and it's HYPORI.com, and hit contact us and reach out to us. You can always find me on LinkedIn as well. I am always attached to my technology, so I'm an easy person to get a hold of. And, you know, if you're here listening to this and you're like, man, I really don't want MDM. I really do like the idea of BYOD. I really like the idea of having flexibility and being able to pick which platform I'm going to operate from. And I really like the idea of not having to lose data or have data at risk in transit or at rest. Reach out to us. We would love to help you.
Okay. Jerry, well, we thank you for your time this evening. Thank you so much. We enjoyed it, and we hope to have you again on a future podcast here.
No, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Take care.